Good morning, friends. My name is Shadima, also known as the Type A Hippie, and this is the Type A Hippie podcast, Chicast episode 9. So I can't believe we're already at episode 9. I am here in Boston for work, my day job, and it has been an interesting, fun week. I've gotten to know some people that I work with because I work remotely closer. I've gotten to spend time with people and really connect, which is always awesome. And I am continuously inspired by humanity. And so I'm just incredibly grateful to have the opportunities that I have and that I get to work alongside the people that I do, and that I get to live this life in a way that was far different than how it began or how it started to go, and more in alignment with who I'm supposed to be. So every day I learn more, and yeah, it's like really awesome. So today I want to talk about self-care. It is incredibly important to check in with self and to see what is needed. I'm reading this book and I'm almost done, called Rewired by Erica Spiegelman. And as many of you know, one of my platforms, if you will, is substance use disorder or alcoholism and addiction, and removing the stigma from that illness, that disease. And so Erica's written this book, Rewired, A Bold New Approach to Addiction and Recovery. Essentially, it talks about rewiring the brain. And so I remember my loving life coach was asking me about self-care. And I was like, I use the oils and I do this and I do that. And she said, but is your condo clean, inviting, taken care of? And I realized that it wasn't at that point, and that all of the things that were on my gratitude list, for example, my life really wasn't demonstrative of me having gratitude for those things. So if I write on my gratitude list, I'm grateful to have a 2-bedroom, 2-bath condo or a roof over my head, and I'm not taking care of said roof, I'm really not consistent. It doesn't really match up. If I say I am grateful to have a truck or a car and it is a disaster zone, and when people are needing a ride, I'm shuffling a bunch of stuff and I'm apologizing, and then dropping in, it's not usually like this type of thing. Or if people think that I live in my car, which this is not a judgment against people who currently live in their car or who have in their history lived in their car. I'm talking about myself and anyone who's similarly situated saying that they're grateful for their vehicle and not taking care of it. Then I need to take a look at that. So it's really important for me today for my words to be consistent with my actions and my behaviors. And so a few ideas that she came up with that I thought, so it's caring for, right, our physical and mental needs, and then going beyond to our spiritual and emotional needs. And so exercise is an awesome one to do. And taking a bath with essential oils, talking to a loved one, writing a card or a letter, either to yourself and burning it if necessary, depending on if there's a need for like forgiveness, renewal. Using that oil, it's called Forgive or the Renewing Blend with doTERRA. It's awesome. And getting enough rest, really connecting to your spirituality, whatever that means, incredibly important. And so I can walk you through some of the things that I do, that I did most recently on Saturday for self-care. So I had received a Facebook Messenger message that essentially set me over the edge. And it wasn't the sender's fault. It was, you know, whenever I'm disturbed, there's something within me that needs to change. And generally, it means that I need to get an acceptance about life as it is, not as I want it to be or as I wish it was. And so that's what happened. And so I actually, like, kind of recoiled, and I just had to be done with that conversation. I still haven't responded. And not, again, because of the sender, because I wasn't emotionally ready to respond. And I need to, that's self-care. So, and I'm in a better place emotionally now. I just have been so busy. So that, and then on the heels of some changed plans, and then my flight got delayed. So to self-care was to do what was next in front of me, you know, what, putting one foot in front of the other and doing what I need to do. So putting one foot in front of the other was teaching my yoga class, even though my heart was heavy. And what ended up happening was after the class, I talked to a woman who has a lot of similarities to me. In fact, I found out later that her siblings live or have lived where some of my siblings have, which is just uncanny, the similarities that we have. So then I had to figure out what to do with my flight so I could get out here to Boston. And that took some time and effort on my part. And then I just came up with a new plan. I was like, well, I'm not leaving tonight, so I'm going to go home and regroup. And what I did was I went to bed at like 8 p.m. that night. Clearly, I needed the sleep. Clearly, I had, you know, emotionally had a lot going on. And I was just kind of done with the day. And not, I wasn't angry with the day or angry with any one particular person. I just figured it's time to shut it down. And that's totally acceptable. So I did, and then I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, actually 3 in the morning, in preparation of my 6:30 a.m. flight. And that was exactly what needed to happen because it was snowing pretty heavily, and I was just focused on getting to the airport safely and soundly and making my flight. So then what's interesting is I see an old family friend in Nashville where I had a connection and she had a connection. And we were able to just talk and connect, I should say reconnect, which is pretty cool because it seemed like a random chance encounter. And really, it wasn't, because I believe that the divine was involved in that, just like the woman who stayed after my class to share some of her own experience some of her own strength and some of her own hope so that I wouldn't feel alone. You know, there's something incredibly empowering and powerful about me too. And oftentimes in this one area of my life, I feel like I'm the only one. And it couldn't be further from the truth. So while on this trip, you know, I left the holiday party not too early. I wasn't the last one. I wasn't closing it down because I needed to rest. And I went to a hip hop yoga class yesterday with some colleagues, and that was fun, and that was self-care. And wanted to run the Harvard stairs this morning. However, I did not pack outdoor exercise gear. And it's too cold. It's way too cold to be running outside, even though I'll warm up. I'll initially probably freeze. So I'm going to go, it's 36 degrees outside. I'm going to go to the gym here in the hotel, and that will be self-care. So there are always ways, you know, connecting with a friend. I connected with a friend over some stuff and process yesterday. Well, actually two different friends. One was catching me up and updating me on her life. The other one I was processing about what's happening with me. And it's good to be in connection with humanity. It is such a gift because not everyone has that, I don't believe. And I'm grateful for that. I would say another thing is, so prayer and meditation, spending time. One thing that I've been doing is listening to the waves as a form of meditation because I feel extremely close to the divine when I'm in nature. When I'm at the beach listening to the waves, I feel connected. When I look up at the sky and see the sun either peeking out or in full glory, I feel connected. And those are important for me. And you get to find what works for you. When I work out and I'm sweating, I feel like I'm taking care of myself and it feels really good. Sometimes self-care is eating something. I've gone all day long where I've been so busy that I just, you know, forget to eat. I've done that. I did that a lot in California. So much so I lost 10 pounds while I was out there. And part of it was stress and part of it was just not working out as much as I had been. And just not taking care of myself. And so when I had this life before I knew most of you, I did not engage in self-care at all. And so now it's important more than ever because when I nurture myself, those around me benefit. And that's on my voicemail. And a lot of times when people call, they say, oh, I love your voicemail message. It reminds me to nurture myself. And nurturing self is different, or self-care is different than narcissism, right? So self-care is really doing what is necessary to keep your soul running. Just like I would fill up my car with gas so that it stays running, and I would maintain it with oil changes, and unfortunately, this next part has to come. I have to even say this next part washing the car in the winter so that snow and salt don't stay on it, which can lead to rusting. My poor, poor baby Gold Nessa. I don't think she's meant to be in the snow, but here we are. So taking care of Gold Nessa so that she doesn't have rust on her. All of these things are self-care. So self-care without self-centeredness. I wanted to include this little bit from Erica's book. As a final note, remember that there's a big difference between self-care and selfishness. There may be plenty of people who resent your sudden shift in priorities. They will try to call you names such as self-centered or narcissistic. Just because you want to spend the day taking care of yourself and your needs instead of others. It can be very discouraging when these comments come from people close to us. Here, the analogy of the oxygen mask on an airplane serves us well. How can you give to others if you yourself are completely drained of all joy, energy, and peace? In the first stages of recovering from any addiction, we are depleted physically, emotionally, mentally, and physically. Physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Our only job is to heal. This doesn't mean you should shirk your responsibilities entirely, but don't underestimate the size of the deficit in self-love that has formed over the years. It will take a genuine investment of your time and attention to begin filling up your reserves with positive, healthy new habits. Unless you devote yourself to self-care as though your life depends on it, it's easy to fall prey to relapse, the old habits die hard. So, that is, right, specifically devoted to those in recovery or those attempting to recover. And yet, it is a great reminder to us all. If you're breathing, you have an opportunity to care for yourself just a little bit more. Very few people that are even listening to this podcast will likely fall into the narcissistic category. I don't think anyone that's listening to this podcast falls into that. I could be wrong. So we're not talking about narcissism here. We are talking about legit self-care. I use essential oils because they have been a lifesaver for me, both physically, emotionally, and financially. And so what I've been using a lot are the emotional aromatherapy oils. And so when I first got here to Boston, I used Peace. So I was diffusing it. I was using it topically. And then I moved on to Console. And yesterday I used Motivate and Cheer together. So I had a friend at work. She was like, does Forgive really work? And I was like, I feel like it does. And so she tried it. So, you know, there's a lot of resources available to us if we only open our eyes and are willing to try something different, are willing to get outside of ourselves so that we can have a new experience. So I'll read from Humans of New York. I was first exposed to ballet at the age of 7 when a traveling company came to my church in North Carolina. By the time I was 11, I was practicing 6 days a week. It became my all-consuming monastic devotion. I eventually made it to the New York City Ballet. I've always seen ballet as my way of serving God. I think it's what God has called me to do. You can call it frivolous or superficial, but you can stretch that argument to infinity. Why do we have painting? Why do we have architecture? I think it's all a form of worship. In a secular age, the theater becomes the cathedral. There can be such a lack of empathy and collaboration in this world, but in the theater, we see beauty and order and harmony modeled for us, 2 hours at a time, and it took a lot of sacrifice to make that possible. I love that one. Then a gentleman, I came from Ghana. I'm always smiling. People ask me, Isaac, why are you always smiling? I tell them, what else can I do? I'm so blessed to be in this country. I work in customer service at the CVS on 57th Street, and I love it. CVS is the best place that I love so much. I help people with their needs, and it makes me so happy. I help them with their coupons. I help them with their medication. People bring me their challenges, and I solve their problems. You can say that I'm their champion. I am not a citizen. But when I help people with their problems, that makes me part of the community. So I do feel like an American. And let's see. Oh my goodness. Okay, and then there's a little baby. He is wearing, I think this is Halloween. Yeah. He's wearing a lion costume. And he has his binky or his pacifier connected to it. So it said, today in micro fashion. Then there's a little girl, and she's a cookie. And she has little black spots on her face, and she's a chocolate chip cookie, and it says, today in micro fashion. And there's this little boy that says, the hardest part of first grade is 11 plus 11, because a lot of the class don't be knowing that. So, humanity, we're all a part of it. When I take care of myself and you take care of yourself, we're better together. I honor the place within you where the entire universe resides. I honor the place within you of love, of light, of truth, of peace. I honor the place within you where when you are in that place in me, and I am in that place in me. When you are in that place in you, and I am in that place in me, there is only one of us. I hope you have a blessed rest of your day, friends. Until next time, namaste.